road from marching to Zion, because he knew that there would be some aged folks in the church, and he was going to write, "We're jogging to Zion." It just wouldn't have worked out for some. So just be thankful and just march. Amen. Amen. Our hearts are, our thoughts are for the Mike Church tonight.
That's right. I miss it.
He would have had his wheelchair out there with us going along.
Right.
The Lord knows these things. His heart's desire was to be here. He told me just the other day, all plans to be in Black Creek for Youth Week. You just pray the Lord's will's done concerning that.
That's right. Yes, sir.
He's 8.5 hours from home. Sister Kim is back home in Greensboro. And he's out in Madisonville, Kentucky. As far as we know, he's probably still in surgery. The last any of us have heard, he's still in surgery, had that hip replaced. And so our thoughts are with Brother Mike. We certainly missed him. I was thinking about him many times in that wheelchair, scooting around the house of God, rejoicing. Well, thank the Lord for him.
Amen.
Brother Vernon, would you pray for him?
Absolutely.
Please, brother.
Our blessed Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord Jesus, that you are the great physician. Lord, I thank you, dear God, that you can do, God, what modern medicine can't do and what the greatest physical hands can do. Lord, but you can direct those hands. Dear Lord, you can touch those doctors tonight, and I pray, God, that you do that. Lord, I pray tonight, God, that you touch Brother Church. I pray, God, that you'd heal him, God, speedily. God, I pray that you'd make the recovery, dear God, easy. Lord, I pray tonight, dear God, that you'd help him, blessed Father. Lord, I miss him. I missed him, dear God, in the song service, raising him hands and shouting hallelujah. I pray, blessed Father, that you'd touch him and his family, God. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd rest with him, God, that you'd comfort him in this hour. God, that you'd touch him, dear God, physically and mentally and spiritually, God, and emotionally. Lord, we give you the praise, dear God. I want to say thank you, dear Lord. Lord, this morning, as you woke me up early, God, I was thankful, God, that you let him fall and breathe his head. I don't understand all that, but God, you said in all things, give thankful. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we know that you have a perfect will. And I want to thank you, dear God, for everything that you've done. And I ask you tonight, dear God, that you continue, Lord. Let us not interfere. God, let us not get in the way. Let us not hinder, God, dear Lord, what you're doing in this situation. God, help us to be obedient, dear God, and willing service to do what's needful. Lord, we love you and we thank you for whatever you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We preached last Sunday, and Blaine preached the morning service again, an event that Brother Jack Haynes is supposed to preach. And his wife's daughter is very sick, may not make it, Lord knows. They had to go back to Indiana. And the Lord had me preach on the heart of a king, and then yesterday here I preached a different part of that, but preached on the heart of the king. And I just feel like the Lord would have me continue with that in Ecclesiastes and just pick up another passage. But Solomon's heart, he's revealed to us in this passage. And again, this is an older Solomon. This is Solomon the preacher. He was king in Jerusalem. He tells us that. The son of David. And it's he that said, "Vanity of vanities, it's all vanity." And in his heart, he's communed some things with God, and God has let us see his heart. And by the way, that is under the inspiration of God. Holy men of God spake through a move by the Holy Ghost. So he's speaking truth, and he's speaking it from the heart. And in chapter 9 of Ecclesiastes, he said, "For all this, I considered in my heart, even to declare all this." It's interesting that he uses that statement, that he's considering to declare all this. He's making a consideration of what he's going to say. Then God gives him direction to speak the things that need said. So he considers the things, and he's speaking again of chapter 8. And I want to go back just a little bit in chapter 8. In verse 9, I'll start where he says, this is the king again. All this have I seen and applied my heart. Which of thy hand findeth to do, you do it with all your might. He's applied his heart to do this. He said, unto every work that is done under the sun, there is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt. So again, he's applied his heart to these things. In verse 12, he says, though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it should be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. Solomon is thinking on these things, and he's applied his heart and considered in his heart these things. And he makes a great statement, and I'll just read what the Bible says again. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. So he now is drawing a line, he's drawing a contrast, if you will, between the sinner and the righteous. And by the way, there's no other contrast. There's no half sinner. There's no half righteous. You're either in or you're out. You're the lost or you're saved. You're the righteous or you're unrighteous. There's no in between. And he draws that line. He says, though it be well with this man, he sinned 100 times, yet I know this, though his days have been prolonged, with the righteous it will be well. Of course, our great songwriter, Horatio Spafford, wrote those great words on this passage, I believe, and other passages throughout the scripture when he wrote the words, it is well with my soul. It is well with the righteous tonight. I have an aunt in Yakima, Washington. She is in hospice care. My youngest sister is out there now, and the report we got today is that she's unresponsive. And it has shaken my younger sister, and well should. My aunt, whom we've all loved over the years, probably the closest of any relative to us outside of our immediate family, is about to make that crossing. But can I say, it is well with her. And can I say that as Brother Mike Church is in the hospital, as far as we know right now, under surgeon's care in Madisonville, Kentucky, it is well with Brother Church. So that we see the days lengthened for the sinner. 100 times he sinned, but his days are prolonged. Yet surely I know, again, that it shall be well with them that fear God. And then it said, which fear before him. So it's not just a vague idea or image of who God is. No, this is before the God of heaven. This is before God the Creator. This is before the great God, the three in one, as we often say, the Godhead, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Them that fear before him. It's a position. It's a place. It's a literal understanding of a place before God. It's a position that saved people have before God. Those that fear God have before God. But he goes on and says, it shall not be well with the wicked. Neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. I don't make light of this, and I don't say this with any type of jesting or foolishness. But many times I'll read an article in the news, and the horrific nature of someone's death. And you'll read the details, and people are appalled that this person died in their youth. And I've often said to my wife, I've said publicly, I've said in mine heart, I said, had they been in the house of God, we would not be reading this news article. Yeah. Had they been well with God, we would not be reading this news article. Let me give you a couple of examples from memory, which is pretty poor. But at the shooting of the gay nightclub, and I believe it was in Atlanta, I rest assured this, I was in no danger of dying there. At the rock concert and the country music concert in Las Vegas, when the Las Vegas shooter opened fire on the crowd, I say this, I was in no danger of dying there. Yeah. When that man in Minneapolis broke in the peep show, the filthy movie show and stabbed those men in the booth. They said it was a hate crime. He was killing sodomites. They're in there viewing pornography. Can I say I was in no danger that night of being stabbed in a house of ill repute?
Right.
And the list goes on and on. Can I say to you, listen, my life is in God's hands. And I say that with all comfort and with all rest and all knowledge that my life is in God's hands. Right. I could die tonight, but it is well with my soul tonight.
Right.
I'm in no danger of dying of a drug overdose tonight. And you can help me out and say amen right there. I am in no danger of dying in a drunk driving accident tonight. Amen. I'm in no danger of being killed in the place of ill gains tonight. I'm in no danger of being stabbed to death outside the casino. I am in no danger of those things tonight. But it is not well with the wicked.
Thank God.
That's right.
Their life is not so. His days may be prolonged, but there is a day coming that he's going to go the way of all the earth. There's a day in which he too is going to stand before God with the rest of the dead, great and small. There's a day that the lost will stand before God and they'll stand in one accord with the wicked names of history, the vilest of the vile. And they'll stand there with Jezebel and they'll stand there with her cohorts and they'll stand there with men who've cursed God and mocked God. They'll stand there with the Adolf Hitlers and Joseph Stalins and folk powers of the world. They'll stand there with the Fidel Castros and former presidents of the United States that have denied God and denied the existence of God.
Yeah.
And they'll be judged for their sin.
That's right.
But with those that fear God, it is well with their soul.
Amen.
Solomon is saying, I've seen these things on the earth. I have witnessed this on earth. There are wicked men whose days are prolonged. And he said, but it shall not be well with the wicked in verse 13. Neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow. It comes and it goes. This life, when you're young, I know it seems, and it's not just cliche, it's a reality. In the vigor of youth, it seems like you have a lifetime. And then you look back one day and you realize you're closer to the end of days than you are to the beginning of days. It occurred to me one day, not too long ago, Lord willing, my grandmother on January 13th of this year coming will be 100 years old. And she used to be really old and now she's really old. Amen. I showed somebody a picture of the other day and I said, do you think she looks 100? They said, yep, amen. But on December 31st of this year, all of a sudden that age is going to come. And this is what hit clicked with me. It's the age I will be on December 31st that my grandmother was when I was born. She was 50 years old, or approximately 50 years old, a few days shy, when I was born. Now I've reached that place. Now I'm half her age. And that time has flown by in life.
Yeah.
And there comes a time in a man's life that he must take a reckoning of that life.
Yes, sir.
And he has to realize, listen, this life is a shadow. It's here now. It's gone tomorrow. I said yesterday that great equalizer, the heart attack, the stroke, the cancer,
yes,
the Alzheimer's, the dementia. Listen, it comes upon the wicked and it comes upon the righteous. It comes upon all men. And every man will stand one day. And he'll come to that realization if God gives him that realization. I've known some that died without the realization. Some that died without having opportunity. My aunt has been suffering for a year and a half with cancer. Pancreatic cancer is choking off the top of her pancreas. It's been slow. It's been brutal, but it's her time to go. And when I pray, I just pray and ask the Lord to give her comfort to cross easy, to give her rest to cross over easily. Because there's a day coming that one of these days you'll hear a report of Tim McVeigh. And Tim McVeigh will either be no more, or he'll be on his way to be no more. And some of you will say, I remember when he was a young man. I remember when he was young and even dumber than he is now and came and preached at our church. And now Tim McVeigh's gone. Now Tim McVeigh's gone off the scene. Now Tim McVeigh has departed. This year alone, not just with COVID, but with general death, my wife and I lost track somewhere in the last 14 months of the people we know that have died either in Christ and many that died without Christ. And some of the great heroes of ours, of the faith, some of the great warriors of the faith have gone on. And let me just say, I don't see a generation coming behind that'll like that generation of the warriors of the faith. Their shadow has passed. The silver cord is broken. And my friend, they're going the same way that the wicked are going. But it is well with them. In verse 14, he said, there is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. And I'm not making light, and I'm not mocking, and I certainly am not scoffing. I'm treading very carefully. But listen, you can eat vegan, and you can eat tofu burgers, and you can eat organic, fresh, whole, non-processed, and you can drink the purest water from the purest stream, and you can take handfuls of vitamins. I had a man in his 70s. He told me the other day, I joked with some of you yesterday, but he told me the other day, he said, he takes all these vitamins. He takes this pill and this herb, and he takes this, and 19,000 different things he's taking every day, all natural, all organic, all pure. He said, the doctor told me I have the health of a 50-year-old. And I used that yesterday, and some of you were here. And I said, I went to the doctor and got my physical the other day. My numbers were all good. My A1Cs were 5.0. My blood sugar was 92. My cholesterol was normal. My blood pressure was 112 over 64. And he said, sir, you've got the body of a 60-year-old. Amen and amen. We're all heading that way. It doesn't matter how you take care of this temple, how you treasure this temple. You might live to be 105 eating tofu burgers. And I'm not going to weigh in on that, but there's a thought there. Amen and amen. I don't know if I want to live to be 105 if I eat tofu burgers and veggie burgers. But we're all heading that way.
That's right.
That's the end of all men. I've pondered this has come upon the wicked. I've pondered this has come upon the just. I've known godly people that died suddenly in automobile accidents. I've known wicked people who died suddenly in automobile accidents. I've known godly people that suffered for years with cancer. I've known ungodly people that have suffered for years with cancer.
Right.
It comes upon all men.
Yes, sir.
God is not a respecter of persons when it comes to those things. And Solomon says, in hindsight, I realize this is all vanity. There's an emptiness to this beyond the norm. Somehow in my self-righteousness, I would think because of the blessings of God, because he has daily loaded me with benefits, I would like to think that one of those benefits is that God would give me a long and a prosperous life. But then I read the Bible and I find out the saints of God suffered. They were vessels of suffering. Yeah. Many of them did not have long lives. Many of them did not even have prosperous lives. Many of them died in misery. Many of them died in agony. Many of them died in sickness. So it is with all men. You can read the agony of the Apostle Paul as he pens those final letters. Hard to see. The pain of beatings, the suffering of the flesh, the agony of the flesh. I recently read on Ben Franklin, regardless of your thoughts on him, he was a great American, a great patriot.
Right. Yes, sir.
And Ben Franklin went to Paris, and on those cold winter mornings, he'd go sit in the window as the sunbeams would come through. And he'd have robes on at that time, not in the summer so much. And he would sit there and try to, I shouldn't even have gone down that road, as old Ben Franklin. And he'd sit in there and try to warm his bones just to be able to move and just to be able to walk. And some of you can say, man, you know what I'm talking about. And he would just sit there, there's no really painkillers back then but whiskey. There was nothing else you could do to try to ease the pain. And he'd take an hour in the morning trying to get his joints moving and get his fingers moving again. And those would come to visit him. He could hardly stand up. And he was just in his early 70s. But there was no relief. There was no medication. There were no surgeries. There was nothing you could really do but drink whiskey if you were Ben Franklin and try to ease and dull the pain. But can I say to you, my friend, we're in a day of modern medicine, of miracles of modern medicine. Listen, our brother that's in that wheelchair, he would never have hope to stand again in the old days, that broken ball of the hip joint. But God, through the miracle of modern medicine, can raise him up to stand in the pulpit again if it be his will. But my friend, can I say to you, I've seen good people in wheelchairs. I've seen wicked people in wheelchairs. I've seen God's people go to the grave in a wheelchair. I've seen them suffer in their deathbed for 20 years. I've seen wicked people suffer for 20 years. It's going to happen to us all. And you know why Solomon told us that? Because he's been thinking about it in his heart. All this work, all this labor, all these vineyards, all this gold. And now I'm heading here. Now I'm heading to the grave. In verse 15, he said, "Then I commended mirth, because a man hath no better thing under the sun." Are you listening? A man has no better thing under the sun. Listen, if you're going to go out, you may as well go out happy. Whatever floats your boat, that's what he's saying. You're going to die, you may as well die happy. Whatever makes you happy. Are you doing what makes you happy? I am.
That's right.
There's no place I'd rather be.
Amen.
Listen, we had a good meal. I don't know if they were kosher dogs or not, but I said they probably weren't. I don't know if that offends the Williams or not, but boy, we had some good sausages over there and some vegetables. I'm just picking on about being kosher, amen. And we had some good vegetables over there. We had some good strawberries, fresh local Florida strawberries, and some good Cool Whip. I mean, we ate, we enjoyed ourselves. We came to the house of God. But what does he challenge them to eat? Be merry. And he said this, "For that shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life, which God giveth him under the sun." That's what you're going to have through the days of your life. Well, John and I were talking the other day, the joy of parenting, or in their case, grandparenting. You know why it's such a joy to grandparents? Because it's the labor that they've done under the sun. It's the thing they put the most into. It's the thing they put their blood, their sweat, their tears, their labors, they put it into their children to invest into their grandchildren. And the fruit of that is those precious grandchildren. And a grandparent looks at that. They know that's the fruit of their labor. Because once you get grandparent age, listen, not too far around the corner is that last great enemy of man, which is death. Not too far around the corner, death is coming. And in those last years, to have those grandchildren and to be able to put your hands on them and to pray for them and to bless them and for them to bless you, there's no greater labor most people have than that. You know what Solomon's saying? That's your labor. Enjoy it while you can. But we're still going the way of the wicked. The wicked also have that labor. The pastor yesterday told a story of a man whose grandchildren made that statement, "One of these days, this will all be mine. I'll be rich. I'll be spoiled. I can do whatever I want. I have all the money in the world." But there was no thought for today, that they too were heading to the grave. Solomon is challenging us, preaching to us. He says in verse 16, "When I applied mine heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes. Then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. Because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. Then Solomon said, for all this I considered it even in my, I considered in my heart even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. There is no greater labor than to commit your works to the hand of God. All of those things that the righteous have labored for and worked for their life is in God's hand. They shall be called the sons of God. And it's in God's hand. But the wicked are not so. All they work for is of this earth. It's of this world. When they perish, it'll perish with them. When they die, it'll die with them. There are great men of history we still read about. They were great men. Not necessarily righteous men, not necessarily wise men. But as far as what they accomplished on earth, we would say they were great men.
Right.
But they're dead. Their works, though they may remain, most of them have been wiped out. Could somebody tell me something that Abraham Lincoln accomplished that still is with us today? His words are with us. His memory is with us. What did they accomplish that still lingers today? Where are the Lincoln family today? One of those great tragedies of history. The destruction of the family. Great men that have done great things. When I was a little boy, I had a hero who was a baseball player. I wore his number. I carried his card. I got his glove. Back before marketing was what it is today, and he was my hero. And I remember reading a book as just a young boy being raised in church. And in that book on his life, he won the 1980 World Series, and he and Pete Rose and Brett Boone and Steve Carlton, a whole slew of the Phillies, they went down to the downtown Philadelphia, the local brew house, and there was a photograph of them all toasting beer. And I remember being raised in the house of God, and that just smiting my heart that this great man would hold up a glass of beer. Because I was taught that it's wicked and it's against God. I was taught that it was a sin to consume alcohol. And as a young boy, I cried. I remember thinking so poorly of him. The awfulness that my hero would drink beer. Can I say we're far from that today? These children have heroes that are degenerates.
Yes.
And reprobates. Hollywood actors that have sold their souls to sin, to nudity and indecency, and crudeness and corruptness and vileness. And they're not even disappointed.
Yeah, sir. That's right.
When their hero falls. Why? Because it's become the norm today. Yep. But the righteous man, the wise man, his works are in the hand of God. Right. Why is it our heroes, our stars, not real people? Not people you know. Why is it our heroes or somebody that makes a poster or sells shoes or is in a movie and we make them our hero and we plaster them all over our home? But they're not people we can touch. They're not people we can shake their hand. They're not people we can honor with our lives. I'll tell you why, because there's no wisdom today concerning those things. When you see a man today that his life is in God's hands, most people fear that. They despise that. They don't want to be around that. It's weird speech to them. It's oddities to them. It's unusual things that he says, unusual things that he does. And they've rejected that because of the person. They've rejected that because of his odd ways. They've rejected that because of his eccentricities. Peculiar people. But all it is simply is his life is in God's hand. His works are in God's hand. His wisdom is in God's hand. My grandfather, as many of you know, was one of my heroes, and rightfully so. Not because he was a World War II decorated veteran. Not because he was just my grandfather. But because he was a godly man. And he left a legacy of being in God's hand. But you know what happened to him? About the age of 88 years old, he was standing in Kroger. And he didn't know where he was. And the staff at Kroger came and got my grandfather and took him to the office and sat him down. They got his wallet with witnesses and they called the phone number. My grandmother answered and they said, "Do you know this Al Craig?" And they said, "Yes." And so we have up here Kroger. He doesn't know where he is. All the wisdom of life had fled him. At the end of his days, he didn't know his children. He didn't know his wife. But that wisdom was in God's hand. When he died, he was in God's hand. The works he had committed to God's hand. But the wicked are not so. The legacy today that people strive for is maybe some kind words like, "Oh, he was a nice boy. Oh, she was so pretty." I've known people over the years that destroyed their lives with drugs and the aging, the destruction of their appearance, the acne and the scarring. And you look at a picture from 5 years before,
yes, sir,
and you'll say, "What an attractive man, what a beautiful girl." But then sin destroyed him.
That's right, man. That's right.
And that's what they're remembered by. Because their life, their work, their wisdom, it's not in God's hand. Solomon's reflecting, he's pondering, he's thinking on these things. When he says in verse 2 of chapter 9, "All things come alike to all." It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you are. All things come alike to all. I got a friend that he's close to my age. And he made a statement. I may make it, I may not. Probably will, I don't have no sense to not, but he made a statement to me concerning a manner of the natural things of an older man. And he just said, "I don't know what else to do." He said, "I wake up 3-4 times a night." I just laughed. I said, "Welcome to 50, pal." I gave him the cure all, Brother John. Amen. Flaxseed oil, 1,000 milligrams, cold pressed. Four of them, quarter cup of 4% large curd cottage cheese. Amen. You all can laugh at him if you want to. If you ask my wife, I sleep like a baby. Amen and amen. Some of us were talking the other day, their family, I won't say who they are, but they had enough guts to show up here. We were talking about eyes and vision. And of course, they're both younger than me, but I talk junk anyway, just why not? And the one lady sitting over here, I won't say her name, but she said, she goes, I mean, what, you look under your glasses, right? I said, oh yeah, I'm an under glass looker. I do this, okay? Some of you are over glass lookers, okay? It happens to all of us. You young people laugh. Call me in 20 years. It happens to all. Brother Williams, do you still play basketball? Okay, there's your answer. I assumed he didn't. I wasn't sure. I assumed he did not. Listen, I'm not even 50 yet. I retired. The last club I took in the head from a teenage little punk, I wanted to kill him because he clubbed me in the face. And I thought, well, I better retire before I lose my sanctification. Amen. It's happened to all of us. The wisdom, the body, the inabilities. So where's the victory at? In God's hand.
Amen. Yeah.
It has to pass through him to get to us. It's in God's hand. I'll tell one personal story besides that other weird one. My wife and I were heading home on Easter Sunday night. And I'm just telling you, most of you know by now, but a large deer jumped off the hill. My wife saw it about a tenth of a second before it landed on our van. Had it hit anywhere else on our van, it would have been worse than what it was. But it hit on the van. Right on top of the hood. Skidded up on the windshield, didn't break the windshield, airbags deployed. We had no injuries. We were safe. State Farm gave us a rental car. In fact, we made the preacher's fellowship an hour late the next morning across the mountain. Thank God for that. God provided a new van for us. We ever get a new van? Now, listen, I'm smart enough to say I can see the hand of God in it. But I know wicked people who hit deer. I've known wicked people who got a new car. I've known wicked people who somebody gave a far nicer car than my van. I know wicked people who've come across money and people have given them money. And they've had opportunities and they have succeeded. I've known wicked people who've run a good eBay business. I've known wicked people that can preach better than I preach. You know what the difference is? God's hand.
Amen.
It's happened to all of us. And Solomon's warning us, it's coming to all. But in God's hand, the righteous are there.
Amen.
In God's hand is safety. In God's hand, Solomon tells us there's wisdom. He later on in context tells us, I would have rather had that wisdom from God than anything else. I'd rather have that wisdom God imparted me than anything else. Yet, I'm going to the grave. And I'm not taking any of it with me. I'm almost done. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked. To the good and to the clean. And to the unclean. To him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner. And he that sweareth is he that feareth an oath. So he tells us, listen, just like the sinner, so is the righteous. Just like the righteous, so is the sinner. There's an event that's happening to all. But because judgment's not been speedily executed, the sinner doesn't take it serious. Because judgment hasn't come already, he doesn't take it serious. But the Vernon yesterday spoke of fishing and hunting and going to a game. And he talked about the liberty that God has given him to do those things. And I suspect at times there's people looking saying, well, you know, I'm not saved and he's saved and he does these things and he does these things. And Brother McVeigh does this and Brother Asquith does this and they're saved. And yet they can't understand it. Listen, there's good and evil happens to all. There's sickness and health, it happens to all. There's broke and rich, it happens to all.
Amen.
But there's one event when it happens that it's too late to change anything in your life.
That's right.
and his death. 1994. My mom called me at work. I was in the Air Force at the time. The voice was broken. I thought somebody very close to us died. She was weeping on the phone. She said, "Tim, the twins died. Craig died." She said, "On the way to school, dump truck. For whatever reason, they crossed over 60 miles an hour. State police estimated dump truck 55 miles an hour, full of gravel. They crossed over in a Toyota Corolla in front of that dump truck. 16 years old, the twins were 15 years old. They stepped out into eternity." And I remember as a self-righteous sinner thinking to myself, it must have been some great sin. It must have been some awful thing they did. You know, it comes upon all men.
That's right.
Bill Randall died in a car accident. Jim Wilkes died in a car accident. I stood over the coffin of the righteous, and I stood over the coffin of the unrighteous. You know what? People say the same things. They look so good. They've never looked better. And they're in a better place. It comes on all men. But it's too late. Verse 4, Solomon said this, "For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion." If you're alive, there's hope.
Amen.
But in verse 5, it said, "For the living that... know, for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither they have any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love, their hatred, and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more portion forever in anything that is done under the sun." They're gone. But you know, a living dog is better than a dead lion. If you have breath in your lungs, there's hope. If you have blood coursing through your veins, there's hope.
Yeah.
You're not in the grave. But the second your eyes close, you're without hope. The second you're gone, you're hopeless.
That's right.
But if you're here tonight, there's hope. If you're alive tonight, there's hope. You see, a living dog still has a chance. But a dead lion's just as dead as any other creature that's ever died. Solomon's pondering these things in his heart. And he's pondering them with a purpose. And he's pondering them for a purpose. And he's telling this to us that we might take heed. I'll close with this. I've made this statement in Blaine. I made it yesterday. If Bill Gates, one of the richest men in the world, were to come in Blaine, I told him nobody would probably, it might fill up a little bit, but there would be too many people there. But they'd come to hear him. If it's in Winston-Salem area with the academia and the educated crowd, they'd flock to hear wisdom from Bill Gates. He's the richest man. How did he get so rich? If Stephen Hawking were here, I mean, they'd flock to hear him. Well, especially now, it'd be weird. But they come to hear Stephen Hawking, his wisdom and all his wise words. They come from thousands of miles to hear him.
Right.
He's going to speak. Yet the richest man, the wisest man that ever lived, wrote us those beautiful words which we just read. And very few will come to hear what he had to say. Because what he said wasn't what we consider a positive message. But we ended on a positive note tonight. As long as there's breath in your lungs, there's hope.
Amen.
Pastor.
We're going to sing 125.